This portion of the show is brought to you by Diamond Auto Glass, where the difference is clear.com.
This is the Jeff Horovitz Show.
Welcome, everyone. Thanks for listening. Jeff Horovitz here. Happy to be here with you today. I've got a lot of ground to cover. I brought in a former state representative and candidate for the Coconino County Recorder. Position, Bob Thor. Bob,
hi, everyone.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's
good.
A while since you've been in the studio, since before I went away. I know you did some stuff with Mark.
It's so good to see you back after your vacation, and you have that olive kind of tan that comes from being
Mediterranean.
In the Mediterranean. So that's fantastic.
Yeah, I got all, I'm ready to go back. Actually, we're in a beautiful time of year here. I want to hit on, have you ever interacted with Mayor Kate Gallego? I mean, you know who she is, Mayor of Phoenix.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, okay. Because was she in the legislature, or was she just up from the council?
Her former husband was, Ruben Gallego.
Oh, are they? I didn't make the connection. Are they?
Yeah, they are.
They're married? They're both in politics.
I got to be honest with you. I'm not 100% sure whether they're divorced at this point or whether they're still connected. I know that there are some real issues in their marriage when he went to Washington.
Okay. Well, let's research that. But they were. I saw the last name, but okay, great. Okay, we got a family of politicians now. But anyway, she did this speech in front of a business group and the ego on her. If it weren't for her, Phoenix would be like, 50 people, I think. Nobody would move to Phoenix if it weren't for Kate Gallego. Yeah, it's so ridiculous. I want to highlight some of her speech because it goes to show you that these politicians are utterly clueless as to how the real world works. But they wake up every day and they look in a mirror and it must be like, what's that old Saturday Night Live skit? People, gosh darn it, people like you, And she's sitting there just affirmation. Anyway, plus we got Bob's done some research on this. I'm pretty familiar with the case as well. It's this Southern Arizona rancher, George Allen Kelly, and had this long second-degree murder trial, just ended in a mistrial. We've got kind of the background on that, plus where this may be going, what happened with the jury. Very interesting case here when it comes to property, when it comes to the border invasion that's going on. And then, Bob, I think we should get into the insanity that's hitting our university campuses as well, because I don't know what's, it's just decades of people being pounded crazy, and now they're acting crazy. So let's hit on that and comments to talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. That's talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. By the way, I'm going to see if I can snag Angela Bob in a little bit. She just called me before we came on air. She was approached at the post office in Flagstaff by a petition gatherer, one of those people with the clipboards trying to get signatures, get something on the ballot.
Getting paid 10, 15 bucks a signature.
Yeah, probably. Mm-hmm. Is it pretty pricey to do that?
The last minute signatures, you can pay 20 bucks a signature. And that's
did it have to be legit?
It depends what you negotiate.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, I don't know if this was a paid petition or not, but they approached her to sign the ranked choice voting.
Oh goodness.
To get that on the ballot. But she said it was deceptive.
Interesting.
She said, and I'll have her explain it, and maybe I can snag her in a little bit. She said that he approached her in the manner of, do you want independents to be allowed to vote? Independents can't vote.
They can't vote right now, huh?
Yeah. And she said that the pages are full. Page after page.
Yeah.
I said, go back to record the guy.
Yeah.
Are you listening? Because, sometimes these petitioners get into trouble.
Right.
Because the way they're presenting what the information is. And be careful what you sign, folks. I appreciate people who are not paid petitioners. People are out there working to get an issue that they're passionate about on the ballot.
Right.
Even if I don't agree with them, I will usually tell them, I'll ask them, are you paid petitioner? And they said, no, I'm out here. I'm a volunteer. Well, I appreciate you volunteering. I know that takes a lot, but I ain't signing this because it's crazy.
I don't know anything about it.
I don't know anything about it. Right. I'm not going to sign it here, but I at least respectful in that way. But I don't stand for when people are deceptive in trying to get you to sign something.
I've always had the opinion that when you're signing a petition, if you're signing for a candidate that's standing in front of you.
Yeah.
And even if you don't necessarily agree, but you and I've had this conversation that isn't it good to have some competition on the ballot?
Yeah, sure.
Too often here in Coconino County, you'll have, a candidate that's totally opposed.
Yeah.
One person running for an office. And I don't believe that that is healthy, for our republic.
No, I don't think so either. So, we like the competition. But be careful what you're signing.
Right.
Because it can be very deceptive out there. And there's a lot of potential initiatives going on the ballot. Okay, let's get to some of this stuff. And like I said, I'd love to hear from you. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Before I do that, you know I like to own a little bit of physical gold and silver. And I've been buying gold and silver from Desert Gold Exchange for many, many years. Here's what I really like about them. They, first of all, will take the time to talk to you about all the different options you've got when you're owning physical gold and silver. Justin and his great team at Desert Gold Exchange also guarantees that you're going to pay the lowest fees out there, because when you buy like a Silver Eagle, for example, or a silver, or a Gold Eagle, there's a commission on that. There's mm-hmm. there's a premium on that. I've seen Silver Eagles go for $5, $6, $7, $8 over spot price.
That's amazing.
Because sometimes they're hard to get and mm-hmm. they become more desirable, and people are like, you know what's going on here in the world? We've got all these ding-dong politicians. We've got these protesters on these universities that are, you know, blocking mm-hmm. Jews. And then they're sending out notices saying, oh, you better not come to this school anymore. I mean, have you ever seen such insanity? I haven't. You know, I mean, we'd have to go way back many decades to see that. So anyway, people are like, I want to buy physical gold and silver because I don't trust what's going on. I've been like that for a long time. So anyway, I deal with Desert Gold Exchange. Call them up. Learn more about physical gold and silver. If you're already in this market, put them to the test as far as their guarantee on the commissions out there that they're going to be the lowest. 888-852-4343. 888-852-4343 or go to desertgoldexchange.com. Okay,
and they're a family company, aren't they?
And they are a family company.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so I love that about them. Mm-hmm. Okay, Bob Thorpe is here with me. Bob is he served down at the Arizona Legislature, as you know, regular contributor here on the program, also running for the position of Coconino County Recorder, and he's also really familiar with the southern border. Yeah. Bob's been down there. I think when you're in the Arizona Legislature, you met with ranchers down there. I think property.
I did.
Right. Tell me about that. When was this?
So this was when I was still a legislator. So yeah, probably 6 years ago.
Okay.
And so I took a trip down to Douglas, which is down on the border, and it was and met with some various ranchers down there. We actually went a couple people that I was traveling with. We went to these ranchers' homes, sat around their living room, talked about some of the problems that they experience. One rancher is great. They got a big, ferocious-looking dog. And of course, they had a small fence, like a four-foot-high fence around their home to keep this dog in place. And one day they look out the window, and here's a cartel member reaching over the fence, patting the dog on the head.
Oh my gosh.
And then
so not only a cartel member, but also a genius.
Yeah. So these same people, they were telling me how one time they went to the grocery store and they came back home and there's a huge pile of dirty underwear and clothes and socks sitting in the middle of their living room in a pile.
In their living room?
And so the illegal immigrants had broken into their home, had left all their dirty laundry for these people, and then ransacked all their clean laundry and then left.
So they probably came over and saw this ranch, saw this residence, yeah. And they needed to get changed because they're dirty after walking through the desert, coming into the country illegally. Uh-huh. And at least they could have like thrown it out, or washed it maybe, you know, but I'm sure they were in a rush to get on into the inland of the country.
So these folks on the border, I mean, I met a husband and wife in Sedona that used to live down in Cochise County along the border. And they were telling me that when they live down there, they're ranch butted right up against the border, that they kept loaded weapons in their bedroom. They had a gun like leaning up in one corner, a pistol sitting next to it, and they had motion lights. They wouldn't leave their dogs outside at night because they had other neighbors that had their dogs poisoned by the illegal aliens coming across and the cartel members. So wow. a huge problem. So this gentleman who just got...
Please. This was 6 years ago.
Yeah.
And it's only
gotten worse.
Become worse. There's more and more people coming through. People who do live on the border, they make their they make a living as ranchers or what have you. I imagine that there's a lot of private property that abuts right up to the border, right?
That
just goes right there, so you literally are on the border in these properties.
When you're traveling along the fence, which I did like 6 years ago.
Was there a fence?
Yeah, there was. Okay. I mean, but it was minimal.
Yeah.
You know, so you're driving along in a dirt road. On your left-hand side, 10 feet away from your vehicle is the fence that had been installed. 10, 15 feet on your right-hand side is the barbed wire, like the three-strand barbed wire fence of the ranchers. So in other words, if somebody makes it through the fence, and it was pretty easy for anyone to make it through that fence.
Yeah.
They're almost immediately on these ranchers' property at that point.
Okay. And then they just got to get over a barbed wire fence. Obviously, they're going to ignore that fence just as they ignored the other fence, and they're going to come on in.
You've walked through a barbed wire fence before.
Oh, yeah. Very easy to do.
Pretty simple task.
Okay. So we could say that these ranchers and property owners and residents are on edge all the time because, you said, hey, they've seen cartel members come through. They've seen swarms of illegals coming through. Mm-hmm. They've picked up the trash. They've dealt with probably drug trafficking issues. You name it. It's all happening down there. So then there's this rancher in southern Arizona.
George Kelly.
Mm-hmm. Let me get George Allen Kelly.
75 years old.
Okay, 75 years old. What happened? And this was a couple years back.
Yeah.
A year and a half or so.
I remember when this happened. So here you got this elderly gentleman, owns this ranch. As you mentioned, lots of abuse by people coming through his property. And the other thing that gets me is you have these cartel members. And, if you or I got caught down in Mexico with a firearm, we'd go to jail.
Oh, yeah. And just one bullet.
Yeah. But these cartel members are coming across our border armed. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would hate it if I lived down there. I mean, it's almost like you're being invaded.
You probably can't sell out though and leave though because nobody probably wants to buy the properties.
Yeah,
it's probably really tough because of the issues.
Hard to say. And do they have enough money to put up a couple miles of really intense fence that would be difficult for these people to walk on their property? I don't know.
I don't know.
So this rancher is concerned about his own safety, concerned about, his family's safety. And one day he sees cartel members, they're armed. They're dressed where, they don't look like, just an immigrant that's come across the border.
This is what he claimed in his defense.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they're wearing backpacks and they have rifles. And so he, I don't recall exactly how many bullets that he claimed he had shot, but he was basically trying to warn these people off his property. It ends up that Border Patrol, I believe it was Border Patrol, comes to his property because there's one of these cartel members is dead on his property. And so typically, if you shot somebody, one of the things that you need to be charged with is a forensic evidence. And they didn't have any. In other words, this guy was shot, I believe, in the back, and they didn't have the bullet.
They never found the bullet.
So nothing to match like a bullet to
his gun.
To his gun.
Exactly.
To Kelly's gun.
They say that Kelly fired... they allege the prosecutors in this case because he was arrested and charged, and he's been fighting this for a year and a half or something right now. Mm-hmm. Says that he fired 9 shots from an AK-47 rifle toward a group of men, including the guy who ultimately got killed was Cien Butima, and is maybe 100 yards away from Kelly's cattle ranch. Mm-hmm. And then later on, he called agents in, called law enforcement. They came in, and eventually they found the body of this guy, and they claim he shot him. He says he firing warning shots because he saw, exactly. Well, like you said, Bob, cartel members, people, mm-hmm. military, male, military age, you know, marching through, which probably happens a lot.
With firearms, trespassing on his property. February 24th, there's a preliminary hearing, and this kind of concerns me. So we're talking about the possibility of somebody being charged with murder.
Okay.
It was a justice of the peace that was overseeing the trial. The hearing. Yeah.
Like the initial hearing.
So the ruling there is probable cause to pursue a second degree murder charge without two counts of aggravated assault. So long story short, I truly appreciate justice of the peace. But people need to understand that justice of the peace probably does not have any legal training at all. So they're relying.
Are they even required to be a lawyer or anything? I don't think they are.
Okay. So in most cases, they're not.
Yeah.
And so the idea that this person's being locked up in jail and possibly going to prison first starts with a justice of the peace making a determination.
Now, justice of the peace, I'm thinking. This is, I've been before justice of the peace in the past with, like real estate issues, like local kind of, evictions, things like that. Yeah, right. Uh-huh. And so, I mean, I'm not dissing it or anything. It's just, there's kind of a difference between running a murder trial and running an eviction hearing.
Right.
I would think. Oh man. Okay. So
for basically since January, February timeframe, this
trial's been cranking.
I mean, this family has been on edge.
Yeah. You know? For a year and a half.
Is he going to prison or not?
Yeah.
So long story short, they acquitted him 7-1, I believe.
No. Mistrial.
Mistrial, 7-1.
So what happened just yesterday, mm-hmm. there was the jury came out and said, we can't come to a unanimous decision, which mm-hmm. is required in this murder trial, right? Uh-huh. I was kind of looking at this and I was like, why is it 7-1? Because mm-hmm. I always think of the movie 12 Angry Men. Remember that? Uh-huh. So I always thought juries were like 12, but I guess in this case it was 8 jury members.
That's what it sounds like.
Unless, mm-hmm. Some didn't show up that day or something, but I guess there's 8. And according to a couple reports I'm reading and according to what the Allen's attorneys are saying, he's saying that this was one, quote unquote, one lone holdout who wanted to convict while the remaining jurors sought an acquittal. Yeah. So to go along with what you're saying,
sure.
According to the lawyer mm-hmm. for George Allen Kelly, they sat there and argued, the jury was on and on, 7 mm-hmm. people wanted to acquit because of the lack of evidence.
Right.
And the facts of the case, and one jury member refused to do it. So you look at that, Bob, and you say 7-1, mm-hmm. and that one, I don't know what the case was with them. Mm-hmm. You know, who knows? Mm-hmm. We probably never will. But now the prosecutors have to meet and decide: do we pursue this again because of mistrial? So they can do it again, right? I don't think they will because I think they got egg.
Yeah.
All over their face. Now that if this is true, that this is leaked out, that it was 7-1, mm-hmm. they were like, there's just not the evidence. They don't have the bullet.
Right.
And there's a history of illegals coming through and cartel coming through.
The other history that you need to remember is Mr. Kelly always cooperated with law enforcement and cooperated with the Border Patrol folks.
Yep.
He gave them keys to his ranch so that anytime there's an issue that they needed to investigate, they could literally come and unlock his gate and come onto his property. He gave them permission to come onto his property. So this isn't the kind of guy, especially at his age. I mean, he's not running around thinking about trying to kill people. And certainly, I think he had a history of cooperation.
And one of the witnesses, supposedly another Mexican guy mm-hmm. Who came over late, he was charged with something. He was kind of discredited during the process. You know, one of the quote-unquote eyewitnesses. Yeah. So the whole thing just, it seems like it fell apart.
Yeah.
And for some reason, it was 7-1, but somebody held on for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. In his perspective for Allen, they got the wrong juror on there, right? Mm-hmm. But I my prediction, and I get your prediction on this, Bob, I don't think they'll bring this back because they're going to look really bad with a 7-1, 7 people that wanted to acquit on this thing. And the reality is our borders are being overrun. People are feeling threatened. And if we don't fix our borders, which they're not going to, mm-hmm. at least not under current management with yep. the Biden administration, this stuff's going to keep happening because people feel their lives are in jeopardy.
Absolutely. And I think that the other thing that I think a judge has to and a prosecutor have to take into account is public perception. And I think that most Arizonans were in favor of this rancher. You know, the plight that this rancher has gone through in trying to protect his land from an illegal invasion. And so I think the end result is good, and I certainly hope that, you know, this family's never bothered again.
Yeah. Now, if the prosecutors from what county is this? Hang on one second. I want to get this right. The prosecutors from Santa Cruz County, mm-hmm. they bring it forward again. They look like the really, really bad guys picking yeah. on grandpa who was, yep. you know, now 7-1 wanted acquittal mm-hmm. and he was trying to protect his family and his property and his livelihood. Mm-hmm. So let's see. I predict they won't come back. All right. Love to hear from you. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Send in those comments. We love your thoughts on this one. Hey, if your smartphone ain't working anymore, battery's dead, mm-hmm. right? That's a big one for smartphones.
Crack screen.
Crack
maybe?
Screens, charging ports. Go to Just Wireless in West Flagstaff, right on Route 6, not on Route 6, right on Milton Avenue. Just Wireless in West Flagstaff will get that fixed for you. Plus, go on in there, get a great refurbished phone, new to you. And that's really awesome. You get a new to your phone, save a lot of money. Also good for the environment. Just Wireless. Right there in West Flagstaff on Milton Avenue. Stop on by and save a whole bunch of money. Go to justwirelessaz.com as well.
They had a deal recently, a really cheap price for Apple earbuds.
Oh, really? Did you get some?
I didn't get any, but they. Yeah, I think it was much, much cheaper than like Amazon.
Oh, wow. Go check that out. I wasn't even aware of that because those earbuds are not cheap at all.
They're not.
Also, it is Tuesday, which means Taco Tuesday up at Sportsman's Bar and Grill, voted best sports bar in Flagstaff. Head on up there. Get a great taco. Tomorrow's Wing Wednesday, half price wings, starts at lunchtime. Bob's already heading over there.
Oh, man, starts getting hungry.
Starts at lunchtime, goes all the way into dinner, and then Thursday you got the mini sliders. Always got something great on their $4 menu at Sportsman's Bar and Grill. Take advantage of that. Great food there and great drink specials as well. Sportsman's Bar and Grill, just north of downtown Flagstaff, right there in the Bash's Shopping Center with plenty of parking. So you getting bees?
I am.
Awesome.
This coming weekend.
You're going to be a honey guy.
Yeah, it'll be my first beehive.
Yeah.
And hopefully they will behave.
Do you have to get the full-on suit and everything?
I mean, I already bought it.
Okay, so you got... Yeah, I saw a picture of that.
Yeah, it looked like I'm heading to Mars.
Okay, so I love... I actually consume a lot of honey. We thought about getting and doing bees, caring for bees ourselves, but Angela is allergic to bees, and we didn't want a ton around.
Sure.
Although when we do our quarantine Camp Ferdy, they're everywhere, so maybe we'll still do it. Honey is quite expensive. I buy the larger jars from a local source, and I think it's around $45 for that. I put mm-hmm. it in tea and everything else. Where do you get them, though? I mean, is this something?
It helps you with your allergies, too. If you have local honey.
That's what they claim, mm-hmm. but I still have allergies. Anyway, do you like collect the bees or something, or do they show up from some Amazon drone? How do you get the bees?
You set up the beehive, and you put up a sign that says for rent.
Oh, and they just show up.
And they just show up, yeah.
It's like housing. They have a housing crisis, too. The bees have a housing crisis, just like everybody.
The way a lot of people get their bees is they'll buy a bee package. And, for example, there's a company down in the Phoenix area where you can call them up on the phone, and they'll ship you the bees.
Okay.
And so you end up with a queen, maybe 10,000 bees in this bee package.
Sounds like a lot.
Then you put them into your beehive. I have even a sweeter deal because it's about the same price. I have a good friend of mine who's been doing beekeeping for years, and she was able to set up some deal for about the same price where she's giving me a whole hive. I mean, the actual wooden hive mm-hmm. With the bees and with the queen. And she's got them on her property right now so that they're eating from the flowers and getting all, acclimated to Northern Arizona. So she actually put it off a week so that the bees would be more established.
Nice.
And so I'm looking forward to it. So
yeah, I am too, because I can probably trade you some eggs.
Would love to.
And I won't have to get stung. I could get you the eggs. You get me the honey. Let's make a deal.
The bees are an important pollinator also.
They are.
You know, so with my wife's garden and with all the wildflowers in our area. So yeah, it'll be fantastic.
That's going to be awesome. All right. I'm looking forward to the honey. Let's get into what Mayor Kate Gag of Phoenix said. I think it's a good example of ego of some politicians, and also just an example of how they're so disconnected from the reality of what's causing the housing crisis in Arizona. Hang tight. Back in just a minute. Hey, if you're listening to the podcast, please give us a great review and also give us a comment in there. If you're not listening to the podcast, subscribe. Look up The Jeff Orbit Show. Also on video, Rumble, follow us there. And on YouTube, subscribe. We appreciate everyone who's done that.
This is The Jeff Orbit Show.
All right, Bob Thorpe is here with me, rolling through things happening and around our area, our state, around the world. It's crazy what's going on in our universities and campuses as well. We'll get to that in just a little bit. Comments, always love hearing from you. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. So Mayor Kate Gallego of Phoenix, we forgot to look up her former husband, you said. Well, we need to verify that, but Ruben Gallego running for the U.S. Senate.
99% sure that they were married or are married.
Family dynasties here. Anyway, Mayor Kate Gallego, she got into Phoenix, I think, in 2019 as mayor. She was in the Phoenix City Council before that. Prior to that, I actually pulled up her Wikipedia page here, if that's accurate. She was born in, she's 42 years old. I presume she went to the government schools and then went to university. Yeah, she went to university. She went to, got a bachelor's degree. Then she went to Harvard College. And then she went to get a Master of Business Administration from the Wharton School of the University of Pennsylvania. I think it's the same place Trump went to as well. Wharton has been known as a pretty famous business school. Mm-hmm. So it kind of surprises me that she seems to be utterly clueless when it comes to the real world of business. Yeah. But why does it surprise me? Because look, Bob, she got into the council, the Phoenix Council, in 2014. So when did she get out of college? You know, 2004.
Yeah.
So what is, and then she went to work for the Democrat Party. Mm-hmm. Then she went to work for, I have a whole list here, another organization, Salt River Project. Mm-hmm. You know, just Arizona Office of Tourism. What I'm seeing here is a life of government. Right. So how could we expect any understanding from a politician other than government? Their whole world's been government-centric.
Kind of like Joe Biden.
Yeah, government-centric.
So you get out of college, and the rest of your career is dealing with bureaucrats and government institutions. You think about what you've had to do, or running a business, being able to provide housing and office space for people. I mean, you have to write checks. You know, if something stops working, if the roof starts leaking in one of your units, you're up there fixing it. And
I just wrote a $5,000 check to do a small roof.
Yeah.
Just like last week.
And so you think about what you gain when you're actually working in the private sector. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I loved in the movie Ghostbusters, Dan Aykroyd. Dan Aykroyd says, I've worked in the private sector. They expect results.
They expect results. Yeah, they actually expect results.
And that's so true. Yeah. And so,
by the way, she was married to Ruben Gallego 2010 to 2017.
Oh, okay.
So they've been divorced for quite a little while.
Yeah,
but she kept politics, government. That's all there, man.
Interesting that she kept the last name.
Yeah, I guess. She's already moving up the chain. She's got to keep that name, Bob.
Yeah.
You know, because she's already, she's got people all the time just saying how great you are.
Yeah.
You've seen this, Bob. I've been in public office. You've been in public office. You're the greatest thing since sliced bread.
Uh-huh.
Right? Because they want something from you. So you start thinking that. And these people just, especially if they stay in their whole life, like a Joe Biden, they think they're the greatest thing since that. Greatest thing. They're walking on water, these people, right?
when you're down at the state legislature, you know, all their staff is, you know, for me, they're referring to me as Representative Thorpe, mm-hmm. you know, and yeah, you're treated.
Like you're
above everything.
They refer to the governor as her or his excellency. Yeah. I'm like, what is that?
Well, actually, that's my pronoun.
Your excellency. Yeah, you should have. Everybody should have a kick, you know what, pronoun like that. Okay, so she goes in front of, this is Mayor Kate Gallego. She's the mayor of Phoenix, right. One of the biggest cities in the country, mm-hmm. definitely the big population center for mm-hmm. Arizona, mm-hmm. and Phoenix has had lots of success. If you look at, you know, the city doubling in the past decade or two, and right. all of these new people living there, and all these factories and chip manufacturers. I guess mm-hmm. you could either look at it as success or, oh man, and then they all move up here, and you know, mm-hmm. anyway.
get their second home.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, she's at this meeting giving a speech to like business group and people like that. And the first thing she mentions is I guess there's going to be an expansion of the airport terminal. A new airport terminal at Sky Harbor Airport, right? Which right. It's a busy airport.
It is.
So probably need that. And by the way, knock it off, Phoenix. When you go to Sky Harbor, I don't need to hear from I'm council member, blah, blah, blah. I'm Mayor Kate Gallego, and welcome to Phoenix. I don't care who you are. I just want to be left alone at the airport. It's so annoying.
A little peace and quiet would be nice.
Yeah, just stop. Yeah. They've been doing it for decades.
You know what would be nice is if they cut their prices of hamburgers in the terminal in half to like $15 a hamburger.
Well, that's not Kate's problem. That's not her fault, though. Anyway, so she's touting this new terminal, right? And she says it's going to be, you can't make this crap up, quote unquote, a zero greenhouse gas emissions facility. Oh, wow. And I'm thinking to myself, Bob, I'm like, really? This big facility in the middle of one of the hottest cities in the country, if not the world, that's made of block, concrete, glass, and metal, right? Uh-huh. This big terminal expansion. You're telling me that's zero greenhouse gas emissions.
Well, you know,
give me a break. What planet are you living on?
I heard the proposal. So what they're going to do is instead of air conditioning, they're just going to have windows that are open. And they're not going to have any lights because everybody will be required to bring a flashlight.
So it's not even a terminal. It's probably just like an awning.
Yeah.
She's building an awning. No, come on. This is not zero. And even if it was zero greenhouse emissions, stop being an idiot. There's big planes that weigh tons jetting across the sky from all over the world to come to Phoenix using petroleum-based products.
Right. Jet fuel.
To propel you and a couple hundred other people in a big metal cylinder at 500 miles per hour at 30 to 40,000 feet. Mm-hmm. There is nothing green about this operation, no matter how green you claim your building is.
Well, the Phoenix City Council actually voted recently that they'll only allow battery-powered jet airplanes to land at the airport.
So they don't need a terminal because there'd be zero air traffic control, air traffic coming in. So anyway, okay, this is a side point. I just wanted to point out that, you know, they live in a different universe from reality, sure. right? So then she goes on to say that Phoenix, quote unquote, Phoenix is the future. Okay, maybe. A lot of people want to move here. Mm-hmm. Then she goes on to tout the Taiwan Semiconductor plant. They're building one. They're building two. Right. Now they're possibly building three.
Wow.
On the backs of you, by the way. Mm-hmm. You know, this big multinational, multi-billion-dollar company, I think their revenue is $60+ billion, they're getting tax subsidies. I think they're getting like a 30 or 40% discount on building the plant off your back, right?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Big, rich company. And it's their advantage to diversify geopolitically and location-wise mm-hmm. in case China overruns Taiwan, right? It makes sense for them.
Yeah, it makes a huge amount of sense.
We're giving them a discount thanks to the CHIPS Act and people like Senator Sinema, which is a good buddy of
Gallego.
Of Gallego and her former husband, too.
Yeah.
You know, they all love the CHIPS Act. So anyway, she's going on. She's talking to this business group. And she says that the reason why all of this success has happened and the chip companies are coming to Phoenix is, quote, here you go. Mm-hmm. It didn't happen by accident. Mm-hmm. I chased this opportunity relentlessly when I first traveled to Taiwan in 2019 to pitch Phoenix as the best place for TSMC. Oh, the ego of this person.
So
had she not gone to Taiwan, Bob?
So the way that she chased them is she had suitcases full of gold bars and cash.
And a jet.
Yeah, and a jet.
No, she didn't have that. Jet. Yeah, she had a battery-powered jet. Come on. I mean, the ego on this person, the mayor of Phoenix, that, you know, she She thinks that the reason why Taiwan Semiconductor came there or anybody else is because she happened to fly over to Taiwan to tout, hey, you should come to Phoenix.
So the tram, I'm sure you've ridden the tram.
I have. At
down Harbor. At the airport. Is that zero emission? I mean, they
it uses electricity, Bob. So yeah, that comes from, unicorns. So, yeah. So anyway, here's my point. She actually thinks that because of her, these companies are all moving to Phoenix. She actually thinks that Phoenix and Arizona are successful because she's mayor. Without her, she's looking in the mirror. Without her, hey, this didn't happen by accident. That's what she said. I chased this opportunity. Realized, I. Mm-hmm. Nobody cares that she's mayor of Phoenix. Mm-hmm. Nobody moved to Arizona. I mean, from a resident to the CEO of a company, nobody moved or didn't move to Arizona because of Mayor Kate Gallego. I mean, seriously, do these people actually think the world revolves around them, Bob?
So more importantly is, why does somebody move to Phoenix? They move here because there's a job opportunity, yeah. Because hopefully there's good schools, there's clean streets and safe streets, there's all the amenities. You can, fill up your tank with gas or your electric battery with, electricity. And you think about it, what if the city council in Phoenix banned air conditioning and you could no longer have a home with air conditioning in it?
People would not move to Phoenix.
Nobody would be living in Phoenix. They'd all be up here in Flagstaff.
You bring up a good point, Bob, because what I wanted to say was nobody moves to a city or a state because of a politician.
A personality.
A personality. Yeah. They don't move there because, Mayor Kate Gallego is the mayor, or Katie mm-hmm. Hobbs is the governor, or, mm-hmm. or whatever. There could be good business climates. And usually mm-hmm. what I mean by good business climate is means that the government's kind of stay out of your way. Mm-hmm. And Arizona has been like that. Will it continue to be? I don't know.
Right.
We have a heat czar now going forward, or whatever that was called, that position. And they're starting to in Phoenix say, there's certain regulations for heat as far as working and work hours and things like mm-hmm. that. Do you think we're going to be as competitive 5 years, 10 years, 20 years from now, and people will be moving to Phoenix? Mm-hmm. No, they'll decide not to. But people generally don't move to an area because of a politician. They do not move to an area, though, because of a politician. For example, California. Mm-hmm. I bet you Taiwan, I'm guessing, the chip manufacturers probably looked at California. Mm-hmm. And because Silicon Valley and, all the tech stuff, and probably said the political environment sucks. Mm-hmm. They probably decided not to go to California because of the politicians, because of people like Gavin Newsom. But I don't think they looked at Arizona and said, let's go there because of Mayor Gallego, or let's go to tech. They like Arizona. They like because why not go to North Dakota?
So Arizona is in competition with places, for example, like Austin, Texas.
Yeah, Texas and
that's
Utah.
That's a huge tech hub mm-hmm. in Austin. So, yeah, when a business makes a decision to relocate, to either move their employees, to move their businesses to a location, they're looking at, of course, a favorable tax environment, low energy costs, things like that. The amenities that they need, shipping.
Yep.
They have the ability to ship goods.
Yep.
I mean, all of that has to be thought about. The educational standards of the students that they might hire within their company.
Yeah, but I think it gets down to even a core. When my family moved to Arizona, we never looked at who's mayor? Who's this or that? I mean, you may look at that a little more now because everything's become political, right, Bob?
Right.
But people generally are moving to areas because they're like, well, I like the mountains. I like Arizona because it's warm. Why didn't I mm-hmm. want to set up the factory in Michigan or North Dakota or mm-hmm. Wyoming? Because it's cold.
Yeah.
And I'm coming from Taiwan. So I'm going to California. Nope, ruled that out because they're crazy on their taxes. Mm-hmm. It's like a socialist state. Let's look at Texas. Let's look at Arizona. Oh, wait, we're going to Arizona because Mayor Kate Gallego's there.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how she's presenting this is, I did this. She didn't do nothing.
I'm not going to move.
And I'm tired of these politicians taking credit for things. And then she comes around, Bob, mm-hmm. and says, by the way, the housing crisis and the housing costs, that's not my fault. Right? She says, here, quote, to folks who might be listening and thinking zoning policies are the bane of the affordable housing shortage, I'm here to tell you that in my city, they are not. She knows nothing about housing, but, you know, she didn't cause the housing crisis. So
people like her and our city council here in Flagstaff, they're the first ones to basically mandate that you have to have solar panels on your roof. Or that you have to do water catchment, or that you have to have a...
retain the water.
An electrical vehicle charging station
in your garage.
Within a new construction, which drives up the cost of construction.
Yeah.
And you can't afford it.
These people are ridiculous.
Hey, there's one important thing when you're talking about moving a company to an area. Is there an In-N-Out Burger?
Yeah.
Like we just finally got here.
They have In-N-Out Burgers in California, though. And they still decided not to go. Yeah, I haven't been over there yet. I haven't been over there.
So I think I've had three or four double-doubles.
Yeah, double-doubles. Is that a double? Is that a quadruple? All right, love to hear from you. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. That's talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. As you know, I got a great new dump trailer from American Trailer Company just north of Flagstaff. And nice. Outside Flagstaff. So that means no city sales tax.
Out towards Timberline, aren't they?
Right practically next to them. Take 89. You'll see their great inventory. Huge yard of flatbed trailers, utility trailers, dump trailers, all kinds of stuff. So go on out there, American Trailer Company. By the way, mention J.O. Show. This is April. You know, so this is ending soon. You've got a few days to take advantage of this. 6% off. That can be substantial when you're talking about a really good purchase like this. I got a dump trailer and it's awesome. I love it.
You can't live without it now, right?
Nope. Go to AmericanTrailerAZ.com. That's AmericanTrailerAZ.com. AmericanTrailerAZ.com. Plus mention J.O. Show and get 6% off of any purchase there, of any in-stock item. Kim Dawson at Nova Home Loans, she's been with us for a long time, and she can really help you if you're a new first-time home buyer. A lot of great programs out there that she has access to. Also, if you're looking at second homes, if you're looking at investment properties, I did a refinance with Kim a couple years back
and
on an
so
investment
did
property. You did one, too? She did good for you?
Oh, yeah, fantastic.
So you got two testimonials here,
she's
folks.
She's such a nice lady, too.
Kim is awesome. I love when she comes in and gives us updates. I got a deal for you. Mention the Jeff Orbit Show when you're doing your refinance, and you get $250 off the lender's fee at closing. Call Kim Dawson right now at 928-310-6458. 928-310-6458, or go to novahomeloans.com/Kim Dawson. Kim Dawson, NMLS 697411. Nova Home Loans, NMLS 3087. BK number 090242. Equal housing opportunity. Subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions may apply. All right, a lot more to come. Hang tight. Back in a minute. Listening to the podcast, please give us a great review and also give us a comment in there. If you're not listening to the podcast, subscribe. Look up the Jeff Orbit Show. Also on video, Rumble, follow us there, and on YouTube, subscribe. We appreciate everyone who's done that.
This is the Jeff Orbit Show.
All right, we're just getting started. We got a lot more to come in the second hour. Thanks to Diamond Auto Glass for being a longtime sponsor in the program and fixing those rock chips in my windshield, new windshields as well.
Wow.
They do a great job.
Ask for Stuart.
He's an awesome guy. Go to thedifferencesclear.com or call 928-779-4140. Let's hit on what's going on in our campuses and universities, Bob. Plus, we've got some more bills that Governor Katie Hobbs has squashed. We'll talk about that when we come back. Hang tight. Back in just a few. The information provided on the Jeff Orbit Show does not constitute legal, medical, financial, or tax advice. All information is the opinions of the host and guests. You should always seek the advice of a professional regarding any of these complex issues to make sure all circumstances of your situation are properly considered. Hey, if you're listening to the podcast, please give us a great review and also give us a comment in there. If you're not listening to the podcast, subscribe. Look up the Jeff Orbit Show. Also on video, Rumble, follow us there. And on YouTube, subscribe. We appreciate everyone who's done that.
This is the Jeff Orbit Show.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Allstate Insurance Agency in Flagstaff.
This is the Jeff Orbit Show.
All right, welcome back. Jeff Orbitz here with Bob Thorpe. My daughter, Isabel, actually comes back from her 4 months of studying abroad in Athens at the American College there, American University, American College. Can't remember the exact name.
So she's not coming back with like a really good-looking Greek boyfriend.
It's funny. You mentioned that. I shouldn't even say this stuff on air, but we thought about that when she left, right? And we're like, well, you know, she meets somebody or doesn't come back, right? I hope the guy owns an island, right? But she had five other roommates. So there's six of them living in this, small apartment, really. It's kind of cramped.
Sure.
It's kind of a deal for the Greek college there. I think they're making some bank. Well, one of them left, you know, I guess it didn't work out. So she went to another place. And then Isabel told me that, the fifth roommate, we're down to four because somebody met somebody and we haven't seen her in about 5 weeks. It's like, is she okay? So, she's coming back and, I'm thinking about, like, she hasn't told me anything about protests on the university grounds or crazy stuff like that. Like sure. It's happening in America right now as far as these college campuses, which have just become bastions of leftist craziness, right? Mm-hmm. I'm sure it exists in these other universities too. Don't get me wrong, but you don't see these mass protests, right? Mm-hmm. Like we're seeing now. Now in Greece, they have protests and they have strikes a lot.
Right.
So the garbage people strike, the taxi cab. That always happens over
farmers,
there.
Farmers.
Oh, man. It's
cheese makers.
It's nonstop. No, but what's going on in our universities, Bob, is disturbing. What's going on with these younger adults? We can't call them kids because they ain't kids anymore. Younger adults.
University age.
These are people that are allowed to vote in this country, allowed in most cases to drink and to smoke and to make adult decisions. Let's get into that a bit because it's alarming and concerning. Plus, Bob has some updates on what's going on at Grand Canyon University. Biden administration's been hitting them really hard. A law that's hitting in California regarding our train safety potentially. We'll talk about that. Plus, Governor Hobbs continues to break records in vetoing bills. Some of this stuff is bizarre. We'll hit on that too. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. That's talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. We'd love to hear from you. If I was selling a home right now in the Flagstaff area, and if you're looking, and I mentioned this on yesterday's program, I think it's a good time not to be in densely populated areas.
Sure.
And that's Flagstaff and surrounding areas, right? I mean, you get just outside of Flagstaff,
rural.
There's nobody there.
Yeah, rural parts
it's
of the
rural to the extreme, Arizona, sure. Man. So call Kelly Broaddus. She can help you find a home in Flagstaff and in the surrounding area. She can also help you if you want to sell and relocate to other areas. Maybe you want to go to that dense city.
One of the top sellers.
I don't know why.
In Flagstaff.
She's one of the best out there.
She's really knowledgeable.
She's got the experience, the knowledge. She puts a lot of money into the advertising and all that stuff. Look, I like to work with the best. That's why if I was selling a home right now,
that's why I'm on the show, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. All my guests. You have to be the best to get through these doors. And you have to be the best if I'm going to say, hey, Kelly Broaddus, I love working with her. And I love having her. She was on last week, did a great job on that podcast. Check that out. Anyway, give Kelly Broaddus a call with the Broaddus Properties Group, brokered by EXP, 888-446-5602. 888-446-5602. Or go to northernarizonafinehomes.com. Bob, you've been watching the craziness on our campuses.
It is.
Let me start with the end here. Mm-hmm. My question, and we'll kind of walk back through a few of these. Do you think that the turmoil and the mayhem and the protests, and these are students that are coming out protesting against Israel after Hamas attacked Israel,
right,
and coming out in favor of Palestine and Hamas, essentially, because that's who's ruling that place, right?
Right.
And it's getting crazy. Do you think that these students and younger people, but there's not just all younger people, are going to stage like a 2020 type summer? Remember the summer of love in 2020 where people just need to express themselves and peacefully burn and loot? Remember that? Remember watching the people come out with the big screen TVs and cops are just watching them walk out in California on live TV? Remember all that? Do you think we're heading to that?
It's a possibility. I don't know if you knew about this, but one of George Soros's organization is the Tides Foundation. They've been dumping money into these protests. They've been actually funding the people that are putting these protests together. That really concerns me when you're not talking about spontaneous reaction by individuals. Instead, you're talking about something that's sponsored by deep pocket individuals that want to see chaos here in the United States. That really concerns me. I think if you go back to the very, very basic, you know, back in October, these terrorists came into Israel and killed, 1,500, 1,700 people. They were raping people. They were killing children. You name it. It was unprovoked attack. People talk about that, you know, they don't want to see Israel micromanaging, controlling Gaza. Well, Israel, I believe it was in 2005, gave up control of Gaza and gave it to the people, the Palestinians, which included Hamas. And so Hamas, they became the rulers there in the Gaza area. And the average Palestinians completely supported them.
Yeah. They voted for them. They supported them. Yeah.
And after the attack, after they came in and invaded Israel and killed all those people and raped all those people and killed children.
And they're still hostages, I might add.
And they're still American hostages.
Yeah. Yeah. Good job, Biden.
The Palestinians were overjoyed. They were thrilled. They were dancing in the street that this horrible thing had happened to the people of Israel. And so you and I were talking during the break, you know, the folks, for example, at Columbia University, the Jewish people that are attending that university, are they going to be forced to wear a Star of David? Yeah, you know, similar to what was happening in Nazi Germany in the late 30s and early 40s.
Well, look what's happening with... You had the one rabbi that sent out a warning that kids should go home.
Yeah, should leave the university.
I guess I'm saying kids. Students should start leaving the university because of concerns about safety.
And these
kids... Don't get your education.
These kids have worked their entire lives academically to be able to go to an Ivy League school.
Yeah, and the Ivy League... And I see some people, well-off people, billionaires, are fortunately saying, I'm pulling your funding.
Right.
I think something happened there with one of the Ivy League schools with Kraft. Is he the owner of the Patriots, I believe?
Yeah.
He's saying, anyway, come on. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's people actually pulling the funding. So some places are trying to crack down. But not enough. There's not enough happening. Now there's this, I'm looking at the Washington Times. Mm-hmm. GOP senators urge Biden to mobilize National Guard to protect Jewish college students. I mean, could you imagine even reading a headline like that?
It's something.
Just a year or two ago or a few years ago. If you go back 10 years, you'd be like, no, this is bizarre. What'd we go through? Some kind of wormhole or something.
So I would say that a lot of what keeps you and I up at night, that we're concerned about what's happening throughout society. 10 years ago, if I had made a bet with you and said, you know, $20 that says that little boys and little girls are going to be, you know, taught that they need to change their gender.
Yeah, choose their gender. Yeah.
You know, they can't. Yeah, they're so young that they can't decide which dessert to have or how many cookies they can eat. But
I would have said, Bob, you're nuts.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? You're nuts. That'll never happen in America.
And you think about, you know, people will talk about how terrible Trump was. We didn't have any wars when Trump was president. And look at the conflicts that we're seeing all around around the world. We're seeing conflicts where people in Beirut are firing missiles into Israel. The people in Gaza were firing all kinds of rockets. Now Iran has attacked Israel.
And I don't think Russia would have attacked Ukraine.
No.
Had Trump been in office.
Actually, I don't know if you remember this, and nobody seems to be talking about this, but Putin basically said that if you try to bring Ukraine into NATO, that I'm going to attack. And Biden met with Ukrainian officials talking about, becoming members of NATO.
Yeah.
And so, in other words, Biden sent the message to Putin, to the Russians, go ahead and attack. We're basically doing the very thing that you said that we shouldn't
not,
do.
Not to do. So the point is conflict all over the place. Mm-hmm. Weak leadership leads to this. Mm-hmm. And now not just internationally, now we're seeing it's And that's why I said earlier, hey, not being in a big population center is probably a good idea now.
It's a very good idea.
I don't know what's going to happen this summer when you have an election like we're about to have and really mm-hmm. we're in the middle of. I mean, it hasn't even taken off yet mm-hmm. because you got Trump on trial right. and this another totally bogus piece of garbage that they're doing, you know, against Trump. And you've got, you know, Biden and his the corrupt family there. Mm-hmm. And you've got a Congress that's willing to send over $60 billion to Ukraine with no checks. Mm-hmm. You know, they're sending a check, but no.
Yeah. No validation, verification. No validation.
I mean, so much of that money is going to wind up in Zelensky and his buddies' bank accounts. Mm-hmm. And then you have a Congress that's sitting there waving foreign flags on the floor of the House. Mm-hmm. It's sickening what's going on. And I'm with you, Bob. If we were to go back just a few years ago, we'd say no way would this happen.
None of that would
no
happen.
Way. Mm-hmm. No way would I spend weeks talking about the Flagstaff Unified School District staff members taking time to change their sex ed policy for fifth graders and getting rid of the word potentially boy and girl and uh-huh. talking about boys with periods. No way, Bob. No yeah. way would we talk about any of this stuff. But here we are.
So in all the polls, Trump has a considerable lead, especially in the swing states, has a considerable lead over Biden. Mm-hmm. What do you think? Should we make a bet right now, wager right now? What do you think is going to happen if President Trump ends up winning?
Oh.
Will it be a peaceful transfer of power?
It's going to be absolute mayhem and pandemonium, I think, because they look at January 6th, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, they talk about election interference and all that. You wait mm-hmm. and see what they're going to do.
Right.
I don't think it's going to be peaceful at all. I think if
another January 6th.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what these people are capable of just about anything as we've learned. And as we're watching, mm-hmm. Western society just continue to decay, quite frankly, mm-hmm. sometimes it's hard to tell when we live in the areas we live in, which mm-hmm. is lower population centers.
Right.
And let's be honest. And I know people are having a tough time out there. I know a lot of people are, but there's mm-hmm. a lot of affluence in those more rural areas because people right. have really poured in mm-hmm. to get away from these areas. So I think sometimes we are a little sheltered from all this stuff because mm-hmm. we're not living it also every single day.
You think about the people in gated communities also.
Yeah.
So now yeah. you have people kind of on the other end of the economic spectrum, but they're living in a gated community and they don't see problems
no.
On their block, on their street yeah. That they had to be concerned about. I know that, you know, for example, in California, you know, I'm sure you've talked about this in the past, where you now have gangs from other countries that have come across the border and are, I think they call them like dinner time robbers or something like that, that they're breaking into homes and looting homes and robbing people during the day.
Broad daylight. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, and now there are people down in the valley, in the Phoenix area, they're concerned about that very thing.
Yeah, that's a densely populated area. Why? Right. And I don't know if I'll get to it today. I had real estate examples because I was talking a little bit about Mayor Kay Caiego of Phoenix saying basically it's not the government's fault that housing prices are high. It is exactly yeah. the government's fault that housing prices are high. I'll get into that later or tomorrow, though. But you're seeing a great doubling of real estate values in rural communities. I'm not just mm-hmm. talking Flagstaff and Sedona anymore. I have examples down in Camp Verde and Verde Valley because mm-hmm. everybody's trying to escape these areas. Everybody's concerned that they don't want to get caught up in what could be another summer of love coming up here
sure.
in these cities that might go wild. And after, and you asked me what's going to happen after the election if yeah. Trump becomes, mm-hmm. do you imagine what these cities are going to look like when Trump's going to be you know, soon to be sworn back in again.
So another potential problem is our borders have been wide open.
Yeah.
How many terrorists have come across the border?
We don't know.
So we could have that problem. Your comment just a moment ago about, is it our fault that, for example, housing prices are so high? Well, think about it. So the federal government, they just started printing money like crazy. Inflation went through the roof. And so what did the Fed do in response? They started raising interest
yeah,
rates.
Yeah.
So now if you want to buy a home, the interest rates are like double what they were a couple years ago. You know, I locked in a refi about 3%.
A lot of people did, yeah.
And so now you're looking at 6%, 7%,
8%. 3% at a lower price point, too.
Yeah,
at a lower price. Yeah.
And so inventory is an issue. So the government has their fingers in all those problems. You think about what inflation has done when you go to buy groceries, when you go to buy gasoline, all those things. Are causing people to spend a lot more money out of their paychecks than they would have 200 years ago.
I know. And this is all hitting, and it's not to diverge from what we've been talking about with the students going crazy here, but this is all hitting everybody's pocket now as we go into this most heated election season. Mm-hmm. But people don't understand why. They don't understand why is it, you know, the Apple was the big thing. This weekend, you know, $7 apple. It's like they don't understand why. They just
was
think,
it covered with caramel, by the way?
Yeah, it should be for that gold, you know, gold flakes, like those truffles, right? Gold. Yeah. Anyway, they don't understand why. And then when I see comments, and last night I was talking about Mayor Kate Gallego, she made comments about, hey, it's not my housing's not my fault. It's not zoning issues or anything like that. It's not just the zoning issue. It's every other thing all the governments are doing.
Right.
And you know, in Arizona, we've got under 20% private land. That's a government action right there.
Right.
You know, you could open up more land if you want to. It's government land.
I remember having a conversation with some folks that were definitely Democrat, kind of liberal people. And I talked about, you know, I showed the maps of the federal control of land here in Arizona. And I said, you know, if the feds didn't have this land, we'd have a lot more tax base to put into education.
Yeah.
You know, a lot more money for our schools, for students. And you know, it was fascinating. So, these liberal people that I was talking to, they looked at me, their eyes were big, and they're like,
what?
They completely agreed with me that, you know, if we had more land ownership here in Arizona, in the West, we would have better roads, we'd have better schools, you name it.
It disconnected. It's they've all become disconnected. So now these kids go, I keep saying kids, these students are all going nuts now because they've been pounded in their head. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you think back to kind of the, you know, the hippie generation and the things that were happening in the 60s.
Anti-war
and this and that, and the sexual revolution, all of that stuff. And people used to say, I'm sure that's these kids today, you know, these kids today. But looking back, is some of these kids and their ideas were pretty tame in comparison to what's going on now. And we keep, I don't know if it's just like they wish they lived back then and they don't have a cause or a fight. So now they just make up these causes, you know, like there's infinite number of genders. You know, now we're going to go after the Jews. Now we're going to go after gender. I don't know what it is, but they seem to be trying to one up the previous generation's protests or something.
The protesters from the 60s, 70s, and maybe even early 80s are now in Congress.
They've been in Congress since then.
And so
Biden.
So you think about the differences of what was happening like in the 60s and 70s, that people were protesting because America was in a war with Vietnam. And now they're protesting and we're not in a war with Gaza. It's the Israelis that are fighting back against a terrorist attack that, you know, we don't have any direct involvement in. Yeah. I mean, we have, you know, Israel is an ally. We've helped Israel. Matter of fact, one of the biggest things that Israel needs right now is to purchase weapons from us as opposed to us giving them. You know, you look at what we're doing with Ukraine. We keep just giving them gobs of money, military assistance. And are they going to win the war? I think it's dragging unlikely.
It's dragging out. Look, and I want to be clear. I know we can't support these countries right now. That's the way to say this. Mm-hmm. We don't have the money to send $95 billion to, quite honestly, Israel, Taiwan, right. Ukraine. We don't have it. Yet we continue to do this while our country is rotting away and they're literally, you know, protesting and causing riots throughout the country. And I think it's going to get worse this summer. So back to that question, what does it look like this summer?
Right.
What does it look like after the election? If Trump gets elected, it will be chaos because I remember when Trump was first elected. I remember when he was first elected, they went nuts. They were protesting at the Flagstaff Airport locally.
Yeah.
They were protesting everywhere.
In Washington, D.C.?
Yeah.
Who was it? Madonna that talked about wanting to blow up the White House?
Yeah, all that stuff. And it's like, there's no recourse for these people to say or do whatever they want.
Right.
But yet we're still having January 6th trials. People are still locked up without even going to trial at this point. It's such a double standard. So it really concerns me. Now, if Biden wins, Bob.
Yeah.
Oh, man. What does that mean for our country? You know, I don't think the right and the conservatives are going to go out and start burning and looting things. But when do those people? I don't want that to happen. That shouldn't happen. This is if you saw the movie Civil War.
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
Yeah, I mean,
I've
just
seen clips.
Watching that progression of things, that's the last thing we want to have happen. But when do the conservatives and people on the other side finally kind of snap and lose it?
Well,
say I've had enough.
You know, the one positive aspect of Biden being reelected is his handlers, you know, that help him get on and off the stage.
Yeah.
You know, if he's not reelected, they won't have a job.
That's true. They'll be on unemployment.
Right.
Yeah.
They, you know, you need people to be able to point him in which direction to walk.
If he gets reelected, though, we will have our first woman president, and it will be Kamala Harris at some point.
Whatever.
It'll be Kamala Harris. She will be the first. Which I feel kind of bad for that because I'm there are plenty of women that are more than qualified, much more qualified than Biden,
right.
by far to be president of the United States. And I'm fine with that, but we want one that's actually qualified.
Right.
So she might become president and I don't know, there might not be a woman president for a long time after that, if she gets that position. All right. Love to hear from you. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. What happens this summer? Send me that one. And what happens, Bob's question, what happens if Trump gets reelected? What happens, you know, by the time he's sworn in?
An important question for your listeners is, how are you going to be prepared for crazy times ahead?
That's a good point. What are you doing to prepare? All right. Love to hear from you. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. You get a rock chip in your windshield, call Diamond Auto Glass. They'll get that fixed for you. They've done a great job for my family for many, many years. 928-779-4140. Or check them out online at thedifferenceisclear.com. You still got time to take advantage of Zero Res of Northern Arizona. They've got a great special going on right now. And they do everything from carpet cleaning
to tile to
fabrics in your vehicles, your houses, things
Amazing.
Like that. And they also do the duct work cleaning. You're going to be switching on those AC units
pretty soon
if you haven't already.
You don't have any crunchiness in your carpets.
Crunchiness. They no crunchiness with their great system. ZeroResNorthernArizona.com. ZeroResNorthernArizona.com. Spring cleaning special going on right now. Three rooms of carpet for just $138. Plus, you get the fourth room for free.
Wow.
That's all you can say is wow. You got to take advantage of that. If you've been waiting, spring cleaning is going on right now. Do it. You're going to start having guests over.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have people coming over for the, you know, great barbecue, and then they're going to go into that room and they're going to see that big spot. Yeah, get it cleaned now before ZeroResNorthernArizona.com gets really busy. And use the promo code 4, that's the number 4, 4FREE24. ZeroResNorthernArizona.com. You can also give them a call at 928-378-8888, 928-378-8888. Hey, if you're listening to the podcast, please give us a great review and also give us a comment in there. If you're not listening to the podcast, subscribe. Look up The Jeff Orbit Show. Also on video, Rumble, follow us there. And on YouTube, subscribe. We appreciate everyone who's done that.
This is The Jeff Orbit Show.
Why don't you give Glenn Least of WT Wealth Management a call right now. Have him review your portfolio, what's going on in the markets. It's been crazy lately. And it's a good thing to do at least once a year. Sit down with someone, say, hey, take a look at this portfolio. He'll do it. It's complimentary. 928-225-2474. And as you know, you've heard Glenn on this program many times. He's got a wealth of knowledge when it comes to the markets. Hey, look at your timelines. You know, where do you want to be in the next 3, 5, 10, 20 years? Maybe you've got even a longer time horizon. Glenn Least of WT Wealth Management will sit down and talk with you. 928-225-2474. That's Glenn Least at WT Wealth Management at 928-225-2474, 928-225-2474. This portion of the show is brought to you by the Rodeo Steakhouse in Williams. Welcome back. Bob Thorpe is here with me. He's been paying attention to this Grand Canyon University stuff that's been going on. I guess, well, the Biden administration's really been after GCU. Yep. What's the latest? What's the basis of the? There's been lawsuits, right?
Yeah, it's interesting. There was a letter by you've had Tom Horn.
Yeah,
he's the superintendent of schools here in Arizona, and I was kind of surprised. You know, Tom used to be our attorney general, and he did a great job as attorney general. He had been superintendent of schools prior as well, and now he's our current superintendent of schools. So he sent a letter to the feds, basically asking them to back off. The federal government has made allegations about Grand Canyon University, but they haven't produced any evidence of wrongdoing. And I think that that's happened a lot in a lot of different areas.
For
businesses and stuff, where you think about the iron fist of government coming in and basically. Oftentimes they'll go after a business, go after a corporation, and what's the best thing the corporation can do? Just fold and settle with them, even if there's no basis. And so I think that's what's happening here. And so Tom Horn has basically made the argument to the federal government that they don't have any evidence of any wrongdoing by Grand Canyon University, GCU.
What was it over?
You know, I gotta be honest with you. I've read about that a while back, but I don't remember the actual details. What I'm bringing up now is,
Horn's getting involved.
With what Horn is basically doing, he's making the argument that education is extremely important here in Arizona. And one of the things that's important is GCU produces really terrific teachers, mm-hmm. and we've had teacher shortages. So the last thing that we need is for GCU to be encumbered where they're not able to create and train good quality teachers to go into our elementary schools. Another thing that GCU does is they have a nurses program. And so they are training nurses, and oftentimes we have shortages with our medical people here in Arizona. And so they're doing all kinds of great stuff. Now, I've visited the campus at GCU, and one of the things that they do is they are located in kind of a tough area where some of the, for example, the high school students don't have a good place to study. Some of the streets are a little bit dangerous for these kids walking home after school. They've actually opened up the doors. GCU's opened up the doors where high school students can come to the campus, and they have GCU students who will actually mentor these students and help them help the high school students with their homework. Mm. So they're doing all kinds of things outreaching to the community. It would be really terrible if the federal government comes in and really
penalizes them or shuts them down.
Upside the head.
I'm on Federal Trade Commission's website. Mm-hmm. FTC sues Grand Canyon University for deceptive. This is what FTC claims.
Deceptive
advertising and illegal telemarketing. Agency says university, its marketer and its CEO deceptively advertise the cost and course requirements of its doctoral programs and its nonprofit status and made illegal calls to consumers. I don't know. I mean, I would say that our university system in general and the high school, what are they called? Counselors and advisors that pushed everybody to go to education.
Yeah.
We could really take this pretty far and say it's been pretty dang deceptive all around, because how many people have degrees and they're like drowning in debt?
Yeah, they're
not
only
get the job they were promised.
They're not only drowning in debt, they're now living in their parents' basement again.
Yeah, and they're baristas. I'm nothing against baristas, but you just spent $100,000 to do that. Come on.
I love Grand Canyon University, private university. Their costs are very competitive for students. But I got to be honest with you, I'm a big fan of Mike Rowe. And, Mike Rowe.
Dirty jobs.
Yeah, gives out scholarships for people to go into the trades.
Yeah.
And we need more plumbers, electricians, welders, you name it.
I don't know if I shared this on air, but Owen, I had Owen change, and Owen's 12. My son is 12.
Right. Very smart.
I got to tell you, I know every parent says this, blah, 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 right? But I'm telling you, this is one of the hardest working kids.
Yeah.
Out there. As far as physical work and working with your hands and working outside, never complains.
Uh-huh.
Dig a post hole, dig another post hole, dig another post, and doesn't complain until the job's done.
Can I borrow him?
Yeah. I'm not kidding about this. I tell him, what's the minimum wage now in Flag? 18, 16, 17, whatever.
It's crazy, I think, right? It's $1 million a year.
I tell him that I would pay him more than minimum wage versus a lot of adults because he knows the tools. He knows the equipment. He knows that. Seriously, and that's something that I think we all got to push is give them some kind of physical trade that they can do as a backup plan. Maybe it's not that. Plus, it helps them forever if they become a homeowner to save money and to keep things rolling. But anyway, I told him to go change the trap under the bathroom sink. We were working on that, and it was an old, like, it's probably brass or something. It was rusted out. I had to cut it out, right, and get a new trap on there. Actually, the only reason I had to get a new trap is because I put in one of those push stop stoppers on there, not the old ones, but the ones that are in the sink, which are much better. We did it. Took about an hour because we had some difficulties. I said, oh, and you do this if you wanted to be a plumber? It's a good profession, man. It's $120, $130 bucks here for this hour.
Yeah.
That you're going to charge if you did this for somebody. And most people can't change a trap.
You can make six figures.
Yeah, you're going to do very well. And I think he was like, $120 to do that? I was like, yeah, I'm not giving you anything. You should be paying me. You should be paying me for this education. Someday you can come over and do my plumbing work so I don't have to do it anymore because my hands are starting to hurt.
By the way, the word trap, is that like a triggering word? Are people who are listening right now, are they kind of triggered by that?
Don't feel trapped. We don't want you to feel trapped. We want you, everything's going to be okay. Go get one of those little pets that you get the little certificate for so you can bring it into the grocery store. Emotional support animal.
Emotional support snake.
Snake or alligator. I just got a text from Senator Wendy Rogers, who was on the program. I think it was last week. Got a lot of hits on that video, and it's up on Rumble. Go check that out. And it's a video up on talkwithjeff.com. We hit on one of her bills, the squatter's bill.
Right.
So she pushed to a bill that made it through. Both the House and the Senate supported it. Even Democrats supported it. So that if you have someone... You go away, you come back, and, you know, someone's sitting on your couch eating Doritos, picking their belly button lint or something, right?
Somebody's
and
trespassed. They just basically,
I live here now.
Right? Trespassed into your house.
Basically, she made it. She made this checklist to appease people to say, hey, we're not going after tenants that overstayed. Right. You know, we're not doing that. These are simply people who are in my residence illegally and shouldn't be. I should be able to call law enforcement. They should be able to escort them out real quick.
Right.
Right? Does that sound like a good bill?
Sounds like a great bill.
It was a good bill Senator Rogers did. And it got over to Governor Hobbs' desk. And
I bet I know what she did.
Governor Hobbs was like, it was like confetti and rainbows and unicorns were flying by. She's like, this is the greatest bill ever. Why would you? I have to support this because... nobody should have somebody laying on their couch illegally and, and living there, right? I mean, it's perfect. And plus, Democrats even support it. So, and I'm just kidding. She vetoed it.
Oh, yeah.
It's gone. She vetoed Governor Hobbs, who basically spent her whole life in government like so many of these other politicians. She vetoes this bill that would have protected homeowners from someone illegally squatting in their home.
So stop and think about this scenario. If Governor Hobbs walked into her house later on today and found people illegally in there squatting, she has a security staff.
Yeah, they ain't staying long.
How long do you think those folks would be there?
No, that's a good point. Yeah, you squat in Hobbs' house, what happens to that person? Do they get escorted out, or does she have to go through a court process to get them out?
I've heard in California you can spend $150,000. And like 6 months trying to get somebody out of your house.
I was talking to somebody new and younger in the real estate business, the rental business today. And I told him some stories how I can write a book on some of the crap I've seen in 25 years of doing this. I mean, we're talking some crazy stuff, folks.
That the governor did to you as well?
No. Just tenant stories, you know, and stuff like. And I said, I don't know how. Arizona's pretty easy to deal with. I don't know how anyone could do this business in California, New York, New Jersey, something like that.
That'd be nuts.
Where it could take a year or two to get somebody out who just decides not to pay you. I mean, so anyway, she vetoed it. She vetoed it. And here's the deal. Governor Hobbs has the record for the most vetoes in Arizona history now. She's vetoed 185 times since January 20. So that's when she took office. So,
right.
How many, what is this, her second year?
I think so.
2 years, 185 times she's vetoed bills. I mean, she even vetoed the tamale bill last year.
Right.
Finally signed it after another bipartisan bill. She finally signed that thing. She vetoed now the squatters bill. She vetoed a bill that would allow, and let me get your take on this, Bob.
Yeah.
legislation that would have required a school board candidate to they have to show party affiliation on the ballot. Mm-hmm. So for school board candidates, so you can,
yeah.
The theory behind it was people will then understand maybe where their political affiliation is, because it's definitely not nonpartisan, although it is nonpartisan on the ballot. Mm-hmm. Would you have supported that bill? Should we have on races like school board, RD, libertarian?
Yeah.
You know, or should we keep it nonpartisan? She vetoed it.
I think it's interesting because there are some races that are partisan races. For example, my running for county recorder is a partisan race. You know that
you're going to have an R on that.
You run as a Republican, you run as a Democrat, you run as an independent. But it's interesting because you were on city council.
And it was nonpartisan, but it was partisan.
Yeah, and so I think what it boils down to is. Shouldn't voters be able to be given as much information as possible about who they're voting for,
yep.
and what they can expect from that individual? So, in other words, if you have a race that is nonpartisan, is there a way that a voter can find out some expectations about the way that you're going to behave in that position if you get elected? I don't know if there's a perfect solution for every type of race, political race. However, at the end of the day, voters need to be well-informed as far as what they're voting for and who they're voting for.
I'd rather have high-informed voters than and lower turnout.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not an advocate for high turnout. Right. Unless they're all high-informed, educated voters is the word I'm looking for.
I want people to spend a little bit of time looking at, for example, like the voter guide, looking at and doing some research. They can do Google searches, things like that, to try to find out what it is that they're voting for.
As a reminder, too, because we're talking about elections and things like that now, and specifically school boards, there's an opening at the Flagstaff Unified School Board. It's my local school district, which I've had a lot of issues with. Mm-hmm. One of the members is resigning in May. So go to talkwithjeff.com if you're a concerned parent. Parents got to get activated on this issue. They got to try to get on these school boards and try to change it. You either got to try to change it or you got to get your kids out. I mean, you either got to take serious action as far as going to the school board meetings, writing to these guys all the time, getting on the school boards,
being engaged.
Good, mm-hmm. good word there.
Yeah.
Or get your kids out because mm-hmm. you're not, it's going to get worse in these. But anyway, I got the links up there at talkwithjeff.com. Top one or two posts right now. Notice the concerned parents, FUSD board member resigning. And there's an opening there for an appointment.
Uh-huh.
Don't say you're conservative. Just go, you do what the Dems do
mm-hmm.
and just go in there. No, I'm not going to give you advice. Go in there and say, I love Common Core math. Wear a shirt that says, I love Common Core math.
Uh-huh.
And, if you're a girl, you do, hers now. And you're uh-huh. on, man. You're on. And then you can transition later. You can say, I'm not doing that anymore.
So if you're a furry though, do you show up with a stick in your mouth, right?
Yes, shoe in. And you go up there and you run up there in the appointment process and you have the dog treat in your mouth. You run up there, you drop it on the desk, and then you go fetch. And you're shoo-in. You're going to get out. And then later on, you can disavow being a furry.
So by the way, right? I now carry tennis balls. I carry tennis balls with me all the time. Ugh. So that if a furry comes running up to me, I can throw a tennis ball.
Yeah, you got
to
do that, you know? Yeah. But I mean, again... Would we have talked about this a couple of years ago? How long have I been doing this show, Bob? 8 years? You've been on it since the beginning,
man. You know? I'm not sure you have quite as much hair, and it certainly seems to be getting a little gray, too.
Oh, thanks. Thanks for making me feel special. I'd love to hear from you. TalkWithJeff@iCloud.com. That's TalkWithJeff@iCloud.com. Thanks to Senator Rogers for putting that bill forward, though.
Sure.
No bueno there, Governor Hobbs. So this was a no-brainer bill. I don't get it.
Doesn't surprise me.
I don't
though.
Get it. All right.
I served with Hobbs, by the way. And so this doesn't surprise me.
No, it wouldn't. All right. I'd love to hear from you. TalkWithJeff@iCloud.com. I'd also love you to call the Blind Brothers. If you're looking for new blinds, shutters, or shades, call the Blind Brothers. It also helps with saving. I mean, your windows have like really bad R value. So you get a good set of shades, blinds, shutters, things like that. Helps out.
Keeps your house warmer during the winter, cooler during the summer.
Yeah. I mean, different different blinds are going to act differently, but talk to them about it. They're the experts. The Blind Brothers, that's who Angela and I used to get all new blinds and Flagstaff, did a great job. They still work great. They did the installation. Mention the Jeff Horvath Show. Please do that when you call them, because you get half off the installation, which is a great deal. 928-634-2423. 928-634-2423. 928-634-2423. Or go to theblindbrothers.com and check it out there. All right, hang tight. Back in a minute. Listening to the podcast, please give us a great review and also give us a comment in there. If you're not listening to the podcast, subscribe, look up the Jeff Horvath Show. Also on video, Rumble, follow us there, and on YouTube, subscribe. We appreciate everyone who's done that.
This is the Jeff Horvath Show.
I know there's somebody listening right now that their AC unit just dumped out. Call Gettles High Desert Mechanical, Prescott area, Verde Valley, Flagstaff. They'll get you taken care of. I've been using Gettles for years.
Yeah,
they're awesome.
Helped you out a few years ago.
Yeah,
right?
they did a great job. Here's the number for Gettles High Desert Mechanical, 928-567-2200. 928-567-2200. Or go to Gettles, G-O-E-T-T-L-S, GettlesHDM.com, and they'll be able to help you out. All right, running out of time here, Bob, but it's been fun.
Hey,
what's going on with the railroads? Can you do that one in 60 seconds?
Probably. So you think about
45.
you think about the problems with Teslas. They're super heavy cars. They wear out their tires really quickly. You know, filling up a car with batteries probably isn't the smartest thing in the world, you know, as far as, how it impacts our roadways. Well, in California, and so goes California, goes the entire country, they want to have zero emission locomotives. Yeah. And so to be able to, if I were designing that program, would I put a little nuclear power plant inside each locomotive? You know,
yeah,
so zero emission.
Yeah.
But, more likely than not, they don't even have a prototype of this, but they want battery powered locomotives pulling our freight all around the
country.
Pure
battery, because they use batteries now, but they have a diesel or oil or whatever charging them. Basically,
exactly.
Right?
It's a
generator.
It's a hybrid.
Yeah.
The
hybrid thing works good. Don't mess with the railroads, you idiots. You guys don't know what you're doing. You politicians don't know what you're doing. Don't mess with the rain. Don't mess with our cars. Don't mess with the train. Don't mess with the food. Don't mess with the airplanes. Don't do zero emission terminals like you're doing in Sky Harbor. Just, you know what? Don't do anything, because you guys keep screwing everything up. Bob, it's been fun.
Absolutely. Thank you.
We should do it again real soon.
We should.
Next time, though, let's do a zero emission broadcast.
Show?
Yeah, a whole show.
I'll bring a flashlight.
A show. It'll sound like this. Nothing.
Can we do it by lamplight?
Yeah, we'll do it by lamplight. Whale oil.
Whale oil.
I'll be back tomorrow. Have a great, safe night. Take care. See you soon. The information provided on the Jeff Horvath Show does not constitute legal, medical, financial, or tax advice. All information is the opinions of the host and guests. You should always seek the advice of a professional regarding any of these complex issues to make sure all circumstances of your situation are properly considered. Hey, if you're listening to the podcast, please give us a great review and also give us a comment in there. If you're not listening to the podcast, subscribe, look up the Jeff Horvath Show. Also on video, Rumble, follow us there, and on YouTube, subscribe. We appreciate everyone who's done that.
This is the Jeff Horvath Show.